Call the roll, please.
Okay, committee chair, Director Banks.
Here.
Director Morris.
Here.
Director Cradell.
Here.
Director Reisner.
He was here.
Okay, we'll move to Director Reisner's presentation. First item is to review and approve the minutes from our meeting held on December 16th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, second, any discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Moving on to information technology.
The IT department has two items for consideration this month on the consent agenda. With your approval, I'd like to do them both at the same time.
Yes,
Item number one is a resolution amending the existing tower co-location agreement with AT&T. The towers located at Plaza 25 in Deerfield and Plaza 63 in North Aurora. AT&T will upgrade and or replace their existing antennas with new models and will install additional antennas as well as make changes to their equipment within existing ground shelters located at the base of the towers. The towers have the capacity for additional antennas. The increase to revenue is $4,218 a month for this amendment. Item number two is a resolution amending the existing tower co-location agreement with AT&T at Plaza 20 in Libertyville. AT&T will upgrade and or replace their existing antennas with new models and will install additional antennas, as well as make changes to their equipment within the existing ground shelter located at the base of the tower. This tower does not have capacity for additional antennas, but AT&T will reinforce the tower as needed. The additional revenue related to this amendment is $2,109 a month.
So moved.
On ball.
Second.
The motion and second it to approve. Is there any discussion on these two issues?
Go for it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Is that it for IT?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Kelch, finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Finance has one item on the agenda this morning. This is approval of the retiree health insurance payment to Central Management Services. Retirees of the tollway are eligible for health benefits through programs administered by Central Management Services. Pursuant to state statute, the tollway is obligated to reimburse the state annually for a pro rata share of the state costs for those benefits. On a monthly basis, the tollway receives a listing of all of the annuities that receive these benefits from the state employees' retirement system. The benefits included are retiree health, actually survivors and disability benefits as well. Premium totals from this report are sent to CMS, reviewed by the tollway for approval, representing the amount of pro rata time that the retiree spent at the tollway. That portion. Today we are requesting approval for payment of the contribution for 2010. All of these costs have already been accrued and charged against our budget, but we're requesting approval of the payment to Central Management Services. As of the end of 2010, there are 862 enrollees eligible for these benefits. In addition to the tollway retirees, included in that number are enrollees from the state police who have served time as part of District 15. Total contribution for 2010 is $4,317,857.28. And again, this provides for the medical insurance, dental insurance, and term life insurance, as well as disability and survivors benefits.
What is that $26 million number? Is that the estimated cost, or do you have the
$26 million number in the budget? Represents the entire budget for the health insurance program, including current employees as well as retirees.
The number for this year, for 2010, how does that compare to the number at the end of 2009?
You know that number, John?
The number of employees or the
No, the figure, the dollar amount.
The dollar amount is 11% higher than 2009, from about $3.9 to $4.3 million.
Is that a typical
That's a larger increase.
Larger than typical.
I have a question. For the retirees, do we pay the whole premium? Do they pay a portion of the premium? And then for the spouse or family part, do we pay the whole premium or they pay part of it?
We pay at the same rate that the state pays for their employees, so there's nothing additional that the tollway does in addition to...
No, but I'm talking about the individual and the tollway.
Right. For, depending upon your status with Medicaid, right?
Depends on your status with Medicaid and the time of service that you have. Whatever SCRF sets up, they provide, according to state law, the state will reimburse or pay for 5% of your health insurance for each year of service, so that once you've hit 20 years of service, we pay 100%, the state pays 100% for the retiree. For the dependent, there's always a copay, there's always a contribution for the dependent coverage.
Which is different than we have for our regular employees.
Yes, it is. Okay. Because it's not our program, it's the state program.
Okay. I'd make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
This was cited. There's been a motion to approve and it's been seconded. Any additional conversation? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it for finance? There's a presentation on the fleet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a quick disclaimer, though, because Rocco brought something up. I want you to know that analogy that Rocco came up with is his personal analogy, not Fleet's official thing on the vehicles there, when he said the old vehicles are good to keep around. I just want to make sure we are clear that up. He had checked with me before he said that.
They don't start off right on either.
I'm going to try to do this quickly because this is some boring stuff, but which one is it? This one.
Okay. You can run the vehicle.
The button I haven't seen for a while, that's right. I cue off the slides, so I'll look at those a lot. This is the same picture we had last, about 8 months ago or 9 months ago when I did an update. As you'll see, our total number of vehicles has dropped. It has actually gone down. We had 725 the last time you were here. And it's dropped to 716. The fleet numbers do move up and down. Now, this number will go up again by 2 as soon as the new plow trucks arrive, because there's 2 additional plow trucks coming in, so that number will go up. So it does bounce around a little bit based on, you know, demand one way or the other. So we do have 196 no plow trucks that will go up to 198. The numbers for medium duty and light duty are very similar. Autos have been reduced. Some light duties have been reduced slightly. District 15's numbers have stayed the same, exactly the same. And the state police will still have 4 motorcycles. And the off-road equipment has stayed almost exactly the same. We haven't really added or taken away from that at all. So that's a real quick overview of the fleet. And Rep. Ralph's not in here. He didn't want me to get into too many details about air compressors and all that. This is a big number here for the board to see. Based on the executive director's direction, we've worked real hard to reassign vehicles and move them around. We now have 32 permanently assigned vehicles. That is down from a high of 55 when we started the year last year. Correspondingly, the 77 vehicles in the operation assigned has gone up because a portion of those permanently assigned vehicles became operationally assigned. So permanently assigned to us means that they're taken home. Operationally assigned means they're assigned to a single person or a small group of people. And then the 4 seasonally assigned vehicles, that number is actually caught in the 77. It's because half of the year they're taken home because of seasonal demands with winter operations, and then that number, that does not add to the total. That is within that 77.
Operationally assigned means it's like assigned to the finance department. I'm not picking them up. Be assigned to a department.
Or to an individual where there's special equipment in the vehicle or on the vehicle. That really it's only for that particular category of
employees. Well, what's the difference between that and a permanently assigned vehicle?
Permanently assigned vehicles are there all year long. People can take them home. They're used even to commute to and from work, as well as the kind of day-to-day uses and business uses of the vehicle. Operationally assigned vehicles are designated to the individual. As you see, the four seasonally assigned vehicles are taken home, but the operationally assigned vehicles are reserved for that individual's use when they get to and from the office or they're at site locations closer to home.
So they don't take it home.
They shouldn't be taking it home. No.
Okay, that's what
correct.
You're saying.
Okay.
Correct.
So
when you were doing that study early on, this has moved people from taking it home every day into this category.
That's right.
Okay.
And some cars were taken away totally. So
right. But that time was just
plus a movement from one status to the other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
Want to cover a little bit on replacement cycles. This is a very abbreviated look at what we do with replacement cycles because we have about 40 classes of vehicles. So I tried to group them best I could. Automobiles and squad cars, our target mileage is 100,000 miles. To give you an example of the squad cars that will be coming up shortly on the agenda, they average 110,000 miles today. That's pre-replacement. These are targets. We try to as close as we can, but usually we slip over the top a little bit. In my 24 years here, I've only seen cars leave with less than 100,000 miles typically when they're wrecked, and we can't repair them. In this case, there are a couple of cars in that category. Light-duty trucks and vans, SUVs, 110,000 miles. Right now, the SUVs that you'll see later on, they're just at 100,000 miles today. They'll be well over the 110 by the time they're replaced. We do project forward. We do have to project. Something that's of interest, if we budget in July for a vehicle to be replaced, and that vehicle is pulled from the July budget, of say 2011, we will not probably see that car until July of 2013. So it slips a full 2 years and not one. So we have to project ahead to see where that will hit in a two-year time frame, not just the following year. So it takes some time and effort to go ahead and look forward and look at all these vehicles that we have. Medium and heavy-duty trucks, we use engine hours. We don't use miles. Plow trucks very rarely go with more than 150,000 miles on them for auction or for sale. They're a very specific use. But engine hours actually do get up there. Just to give you a brief understanding of this, IDOT's engine hour replacement cycle is 6,000 hours. So we're 1,000 hours over the top of them right off the bat. And they very rarely go. The plow trucks here right now stand at just over 7,000 hours or 7,025 is the average hours right now for the ones that will be on the agenda as well.
And the replacement, do you trade them in or do you auction them?
Depending on what class you're looking at, right now, if you look at the automobile and squad cars, we're using CMS's iBid website, which is an auction website, like an eBay type of thing, but it's run by CMS. In the past, and we don't have an active contract right now, but medium and heavy duty trucks were actually sold at retail by a contractor. We provide the vehicle to them, they pick it up, they sell it on the retail lot. It has tripled, in some cases, the amount of money we've gotten over auction. Because now we have the right to refuse the sale, we can go ahead and set a price and use that target instead of hoping that somebody meets that target. It's been extremely successful.
So we used to hold auctions. So is that over? We're not doing that anymore?
We are not doing internal auctions any longer. Yeah. The other way we have sold cars and light-duty trucks is at a public auction, like a Mannheim auto auction, the typical auto auctions. We do have a contract. Hopefully we'll have one back again. But we get 40, 50 cars in to replace it one time. It's a big effort to sell them. So. It takes some time. So we do have three different ways to start.
Thank you.
I wanted to cover a little bit about alternate fuel, where we're at. That was a big question last time. And I want to cover some of the advantages of alternate fuel vehicles and what benefits we can do as an agency to help the environment. Some of the big ones, the executive order that the governor has placed on environmental items requires that by 2012 we reduce petroleum consumption by 20%. That doesn't mean we have to do complete fuel consumption, it's petroleum consumption. So if we offset the petroleum consumption with something like E85 or natural gas or something like that, that's the reduction. We do reduce harmful emissions that the engines produce. Biodiesel is excellent at doing that. We reduce the dependency on foreign oil by using renewable energy. And we support Illinois agriculture, which is a big part of the state, of course.
Do we have any natural gas vehicles?
No, we do not. Our strategy is using E85 and the light-duty vehicles. We're spread out in a lot of places around northern Illinois. So if we do something in the way of a new fuel, we have to build the infrastructure in a large area in order to have any impact. E85 fits well with the type of infrastructure we currently have without having to build brand new infrastructure everywhere for that. It's a little bit different. Plus, the predominant fleet we have right now is snowplow trucks and squad cars. That's two-thirds of our fleet. So whatever we do, we have to look at what we can use those vehicles for in order to make a big impact. We kind of piece together a little bit. We only have around 30 cars that are not squad cars. So there's not a lot of automobiles in our fleet. So our strategy has been looking at E85. It fits us well. We have looked at it, though, but we reviewed all the different types of alternate fuels. And this is a quick look at the breakdown of how alternate fuels are being used or the vehicle that we purchased. We don't use E85 in everything that we have. We only have one E85 site at this time. We're considering more. We did have some money in the budget for it originally. Unfortunately, it didn't make the budget, but we're working on other ways around that to try to work that in. But right now, we're running all diesel applications, that's on and off-road, on biodiesel. So the concentration levels vary from time of year. Biodiesel is not real fun to use in cold weather. It has a problem with getting a little solid on it. So in the wintertime, we run B5. We reduce that. And in the summertime, as soon as it warms up above freezing, we know it's going to stay above freezing, we crank it up to B20, increase that concentration level. We now have 280 E85-capable vehicles, which is really a dramatic change. We're going to keep moving. And we have one hybrid vehicle. I want to talk about hybrids. We have interest in buying more hybrids. We have about 14 or 15 that we want to purchase. We've actually been waiting for CMS to put the contract together. So as soon as CMS has that contract out, we will be the first ones to board them off.
As one who drives a hybrid vehicle, they really are fuel efficient.
The one that we do have, we bought as a test vehicle. It's been great. We love it.
You're indicating that you have a certain number of E85 capable vehicles. Is it safe to assume that if you have the vehicle, you are definitely using the E85 in all cases, or is there a kind of a dichotomy there in terms of?
Unfortunately, we only have one E85 site, and that's our fuel pumps here. We had an extra tank after we sold the helicopter. We converted that to E85. Mm-hmm. We're using about 35,000 gallons of E85 a year. We use 600 to 700,000 gallons of gas a year. So we do want to eventually try to transition into more E85, but as funding becomes available, we'll definitely do that. Now, one thing we do, if you're familiar with the word attainment area, non-attainment area, those are EPA's descriptions of meeting or not meeting the EPA regulation for air quality. We do buy oxygenated fuel at all of our sites, even if they're not in the attainment area. So we do buy that in Rockets up that way, but Marengo, Dixon, DeKalb, we do buy oxygenated fuel, so that does boost a little bit more of ethanol up in there because it isn't 10% ethanol. Anticipated, if everything goes through as we plan or hope, in 2011, you can see the numbers there. I don't have to necessarily go through them, but we'll be at 84% of our fleet will be operating or capable of operating on alternate fuels. Another real interesting thing and a personal goal of mine was to try to reduce the pollutants from what we currently own without changing the fuel. Okay? So we went through a couple of different initiatives over time, and of our diesel power trucks now, 87% of our trucks have after treatment. So they are cleaner now, substantially cleaner, in some cases 40 to 50% cleaner. That's even on the older trucks. The newer trucks are 97, 98% cleaner. They're coming with the technology built into them, but we did retrofit. The only reason we haven't been a little bit higher is those trucks are probably going to be replaced soon. We don't want to throw money at them just before they went out this morning. So We'll probably never get past the 95% range, probably for another 3 or 4 years. We'll get to a point where there's just a few left and they'll go into the bus. Off-road's a little bit different story. That's the loaders, the tractors, those type of things. We did upfit off-load tractors and equipment lift technology. What we're doing now is we changed our specifications to include that, which no other agency in the state has done. We are the first one. They're required across the board. So if we buy a loader, a skid steer, or any type of product, if it has a horsepower requirement or a horsepower demand, that's enough that we can use the technology, it will be on there. So we purchased the loaders last year. I think we purchased 7 loaders. They all came with the technology. So we're going to look at a few more, but we're down to the point now. We only have 1 or 2 here, 1 or 2 there. It's hard to buy 1 or 2 pieces. It takes a lot of effort to make that happen. Some fleet environmental initiatives that aren't vehicle related. We're really happy with this list. We've been very proactive in this. We now recycle all of our antifreeze. As a matter of fact, we sell our old antifreeze now, just like our waste oil. This is not going to sound like much, but we get 3 cents a gallon. But we save $2 a gallon of not disposing of a different way. So we really save almost $2 a gallon doing that. So we have asked CMS to produce a contract with used antifreeze or recycled antifreeze to put back into our fleet. They're working on that for us. We're now recycling our used oil filters, which we had not been doing in the past. And we continue to recycle all of our oil that comes out of our fleet. We're also using recycled oil or refined oil in a good portion of the fleet. We converted all of our parts washers. Again, we have 12 locations, but actually there's a parts washer in this building for the building techs. We've converted all those over to environmentally friendly bio-based product now. They're no longer solvent-based. This is something I'm very proud of, and I have a pretty nice statistic for this. We developed a fuel reduction initiative last year to reduce fuel consumption, total fuel consumption by the door by 10%. I don't do a lot of presentations, so sometimes I go a little fast. In the governor's directive, there is the requirement to reduce fuel consumption, petroleum consumption by 20%. That order requires us to use 2008 as our baseline. We also use 2008 for our initiative, so we can use the two together to work together. I can tell you that last year alone, with a half a year, and this may not work this year, but in a half a year, we saved 168,000 gallons of fuel based on 2008.
And that translates to real money.
That translates to real money, yes. If you look at 2008 use compared to this year, or 2010's, we saved 168,000 gallons of fuel. So it saves not only in money, it also saves in pollutants, wear and tear on the vehicle, tires, brakes, things like that. So we hope to do a little bit better this year. We're going to try. I'm going to put together a meeting in the next month to go over January's numbers just to see where we're going so far. That was exciting. And this was our first year we used B20 biodiesel all summer long in all of the fleet. We tried it last year, and it worked. So we're going to do it this year again. We're going to keep doing it. And that's really everything I've got. I went as fast as I could.
Very thorough presentation.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Just a question, and congratulations on the fuel saving first. But relative, you describe almost 200 vehicles as snowplow trucks. Mm-hmm. And my question is, the other 7 or 8 months of the year, are there alternative uses for those that we're seeing or not?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Our plow truck count is based on our route count. So however many snow routes are determined that we require a truck, that's what the snowplow truck counts is developed around. The problem that we have in the summertime is that we have enough work to keep half the trucks at most of the garages running every day. And that's where it comes in, where the trucks will sit quite a while. A lot of these trucks that we're selling, or will be selling based on the ones we're buying today, are 15 years old or older. So they will get pretty mature by the time we get rid of them. And the problem is the corrosive environment that we're in. It's really, really corrosive, and we do have a lot of problems with a lot of different parts of the truck, not just the cabs, wiring, frames. There's a lot of pieces that really have a hard time with that. But the plow truck count is based on the number of plow routes. That's the best way to explain how we come up with the number and how they're used. So, yeah, they are used all year round. It's just that they get the most used.
Yeah.
The plows come off in the summer. And we do have a rotation program that the M sites are asked to rotate the trucks so all the trucks are driven and aren't just driving the new ones. We really are aggressive at that, too.
If I might add, I've got this little sheet that Governor Quinn put out years ago of some of his goals for the tollway. It was years ago. And one of them goes back to the initial slide on getting rid of the permanently assigned vehicles. So I would hope that when the chair or the executive director meet with the governor, you point out that while it might have been an old sheet of paper, you are following some of the guidelines he established years ago, and we really reduced the number of vehicles because that was a very hot button issue for him, and I think it still is something that he's trying to promote. So, you know, Governor Quinn gets some credit for some of the stuff we do here, and it's good to know we're following some of the guidelines he established a long time ago.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, just one other question, you know, kind of along those lines, you indicated that engine hours for the medium and heavy trucks is 7,000. You said IDOTs is 6,000?
Yes.
How can you help them get to 7?
They get to 7 on their own, actually. That's their target number. They're funding-wise, they're probably at, you know, they end up probably a little higher than we do when they replace them because of their funding availability. But their target number is 6. So when they produce a budget, they're looking at all the vehicles in their system.
So target versus actual, they're closer to the 7 that
they meet our guideline because they're broken.
Yeah, they
Thank you very much. That was excellent. Thank you.
Procurement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board of Directors. Procurement has 13 items for your consideration today. A brief statement about information provided on the summary sheets, as is engineering. We are going to anticipate specific questions that are coming up and reaching out to CMS for additional information. Some of today's items do not include portions of the historical bid information, which was not available from CMS. The first five items segue perfectly from Tom's presentation and all having to do with replacement vehicles. Should I take those in order?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. The first item is a CMS master contract to purchase police package utility vehicles. This contract provides a source for the replacement of 5 police package utility vehicles used by District 15 State Police. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Miles Chevrolet, in an amount not to exceed $120,601.25. The next item is a CMS master contract to purchase police pursuit vehicles. This contract provides a source for the replacement of 43 Ford Crown Victorias used by District 15 State Police. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Landmark Ford Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed $919,106. The next item, number 3, is a CMS master contract to purchase snowplow trucks. This contract provides a source for the replacement of 7 snowplow trucks used for snow, ice, and general roadway maintenance. All units exceed the replacement criteria of 7,000 engine operating hours. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Prairie Archway International Trucks, in an amount not to exceed $963,623.29. The fourth item is a CMS master contract to purchase trailer-mounted attenuators. This contract provides a source for the replacement of 16 trailer-mounted crash attenuators. These are mobile crash barriers used by roadway maintenance to protect work crews from errant vehicles and temporary work zones. Currently, most tollway maintenance sites have 2 trailer-mounted attenuators and 1 truck-mounted. The truck-mounted attenuators will be retired due to poor condition. The truck-mounted units have been used extensively, and the viability of them being fully crash-worthy is questionable. With the acquisition of the 3rd trailer-mounted unit, the maintenance sites will be able to provide traffic control and lane closures that meet the tollway's new lane closure guidelines.
Isn't an attenuator that thing that they pull out of the trailer and it's got the flashing arrow?
And it, well, no, it helps stop the impact of a
Oh, it's if somebody runs into the back of the truck. Okay, exactly. It's that big fat thing that's just out the back, the black thing.
And these are now trailer-mounted versus the truck-mounted.
Right. Okay.
Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Energy Absorption Systems Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed $305,600. The fifth item is a CMS master contract to purchase vehicles, minivans. This contract provides a source for the replacement of 7 minivan vehicles used by custodial services and carpenter shop. The replacement criteria for these units is 110,000 miles. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Wright Automotive Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed $131,068.
Okay. Questions on the first 5 items?
Good question.
So moved.
Motion to approve
second.
Items 1 through 5 is seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Those of you
thank you.
Support.
The sixth item is a dollar limit increase and extension of a CMS master contract to purchase tires. This contract provides a source for purchasing tires used for towway vehicles and equipment, which consists of cars and light or heavy-duty trucks. This contract is with K&M Tire Company and Brad Tire Incorporated. Approval of this will increase the dollar limit by $45,000 for the interim term until a new CMS master contract is available.
So move on that. I appreciate you putting in that CMS couldn't provide the information, but I think next time somebody talks to Albert, could maybe he go and ask CMS to help us find this information in the future?
We have.
Right, and we have, but he's now that he's our guy there, maybe he can.
Well, it's not really, he's not with CMS.
Oh, okay.
It's with Procurement Policy Board, so Executive Ethics Commission, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Procurement Policy Board, Executive Ethics Commission.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have, and we'll continue to ask them, but knowing that this is important, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, we wanted to be clear where we weren't able
that's good to put that in there, because at least we're trying.
Yeah. So we'll continue to ask, though.
Okay. The seventh
I'll
item.
Draw my motion.
The seventh item is a CMS master, a CMS contract for the tollway to purchase snowplow blades. This contract provides a source for the replacement of various size of snowplow blades for the winter season. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Vault Manufacturing Company, in an amount not to exceed $180,000. As a preface for two of the items upcoming, for number 8 and 10, the bidding process for items number 8 and 10 is a procurement strategy of using a published dealer cost plus the markup for original equipment manufacturer's parts, which provides a warranty for replacing a defective part and quality of replacement. Manufacturer dealers provide a complete line of parts available for the manufacturer's full line of cars and trucks. Compatibility to existing equipment and the safety of towway employees and equipment are our biggest concerns. The contract award amount is determined by fleet and is the maximum amount of budgeted funds available to spend with the vendor on the contract. The contract is awarded to the vendor who provides the lowest percent discount. The eighth item is a CMS contract for the tollway to purchase General Motors auto and light truck parts. This contract provides a source for General Motors replacement parts used to maintain the tollway's General Motors vehicles. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Badger Truck Center, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. The ninth item is a CMS contract for the tollway to purchase winter roadway abrasives. This contract provides a source for winter roadway abrasives, a unique mixture of crushed stone and gravel used in snow removal operations. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Thielen Sand Gravel Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed $149,882.50. The tenth item is a CMS contract for the tollway to purchase Ford auto and light truck parts. This contract provides a source for Ford replacement parts used to maintain the tollway's Ford vehicles. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Gilly Ford, Hyde Ford, in an amount not to exceed $220,000. For the next item, number 11, battery-powered forklifts, procurement is asking the board permission to modify the presented award from Alta Equipment Company to Chatham Home and Office Cleaners Incorporated, and a revised dollar amount for their bid to $74,792. Until yesterday, CMS...
74 or 76?
$74,792.
Okay.
Until yesterday, CMS had indicated to us and provided the information that the award would be Alta. They came back to us and indicated that the Alta had not provided the proper supporting documentation, specifically the Board of Elections documents. So at this point, Chatham Home and Office Cleaners Incorporated is actually the only responsible bidder.
So Scott, in a nutshell, how many, we've had a lot of cases, I feel, where the lowest responsive bidder or bidders have been thrown out because they didn't have a Board of Elections certificate. Do you have a sense?
I would say 5% is a high number. This one came specifically from CMS, so this is a very unique situation for us to have had. We kept the board item on just to make sure that we still had the place marker for it. We didn't want to lose the opportunity to buy the forklifts. Up to yesterday afternoon, CMS went back to Chatham in order to be able to ask for a best and final offer and reduce the price by the $2,000. So that's why we are asking now to...
What is the Board of Elections certificate there, Missy?
It's a requirement that with all, and it happens also with our construction.
Right, we've seen that before.
It's about contributions.
Yeah.
So it's a simple form that says we did or didn't make contributions, and they just don't file it, apparently.
Well, it's an actual certificate, and therein lies the problem. They can be registered with the Board of Elections, but they are required to submit the certificate with the bid or the proposal.
And so they could be compliant with
correct.
The registration requirement, but unless they actually include a copy of the certificate, we can't accept the...
The requirement is referenced twice within the bid documents as a requirement, and then also a third time as a checklist item to say, did you submit the actual certificate?
And we have been careful in our own, to the extent we can control it, to create checklists to be clear with individuals and try to do training and other things.
Absolutely.
So that companies will know that this is, it is a hiccup and it is something.
It can be a failure, though. I mean, that's...
it's not curable.
We've improved when we control it, and it's good. I mean, here's a paperwork, possible paperwork error that costs us $6,000. But that's life in the big city.
I
mean, that's
absolutely. The other question would be, I mean, I know that political contributions can cross state lines and the like, but the company that we eliminated is in Michigan.
Absolutely.
And
that's an excellent point.
The other one's in New York.
Isn't there some way to look at an out-of-state?
Both.
They're in that process, I assume.
Absolutely. And both companies are actually registered with the state of Illinois to unauthorized to transact business. So they should have been a little more sophisticated to that extent.
Okay.
As you compile a bid document, that one single piece of paper can sometimes be the nemesis of the whole situation.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Okay. And that motion is for items 6 through
11. Yes, sir.
Second. This is second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Last two items.
The 12th item is a renewal of the CMS contract for the tollway to purchase plastic money bags. This contract provides a service for dual side-by-side money bags used by the toll collectors to turn in their cash coins at the end of their shift. This contract is with Dunbar Security Products, formerly known as Dunbar Bank Pass. Approval of this will increase the dollar limit by $67,500. The current authorization is $67,500. And upon receiving your approval, the revised amount will be $135,000.
And the next item?
The last item is a renewal of a tollway contract to purchase automotive paint and supplies. This contract provides a source for automotive paint and supplies, PPG, for tollway vehicles and equipment. PPG paints are used on surfaces that require a high quality finish and paint match. This contract is with Auto Color Incorporated. Approval of this will increase the dollar amount by $28,000. The current authorization is $28,000, and upon receiving your approval, the revised amount will be $56,000.
If both of these are the team.
Absolutely.
Questions, comments on 12?
AMPAC on the one for the bags, their bids failed because they were for a single pouch versus a dual pouch. Can
exactly.
Someone explain what this means?
Dual pouch money bags allows for, and within a bag itself, it's literally divided in half. It's as if it was a freezer bag.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's literally stitched down the bottom and reinforced on the bottom as well. So it's center and then allows for coins as well as actually paper as well.
Oh, in the same bag.
Correct.
As we take the money in, we separate the paper currency from the coin. So when it comes into the money room, we're able to separate the coin. The coin counters count on one end, and we have the people in the booths count the paper currency there. Also, there's something that's not in there. These bifurcated bags are barcoded, mm-hmm. So we can track them from the point that they're deposited at the toll plaza into the money room, so we have an audit trail.
Okay.
once it's deposited.
So this is really a security issue.
It is very much so.
And not having additional hands separating fewer from hands one bag, touching, fewer hands
right.
touching the bag and the cash and separating out the different currencies.
Okay, so moved. So.
Second.
Motion on items 12 and 13. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it for procurement?
That is it.
Moving on to legal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have three items today. Items one and two are intergovernmental agreements. Item one is a proposed agreement with IDOT under which the tollway will get access to useful NAVTEC data from IDOT at no cost. This data is used in the planning and GIS areas in engineering. Item two is an amendment to an existing intergovernmental agreement with Cook County and the Village of Deerfield. The amendment makes the county responsible for an additional $225,000 of work the tollway performed on behalf of the county in connection with its work on the Lake Cook Road Bridge over the tri-state. So that will allow the tollway to be reimbursed for those expenses.
Any questions on item one or two? Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. And is there a third item?
There's a third item, Mr. Chairman. It's a proposed settlement agreement with the bonding company that stepped in and performed work on a heating system project where the tollway contractor failed. The bonding company stepped in, got the work done, actually got the work done for less than the contract limit. The agreement establishes what the tollway owes and releases the tollway from any payment responsibility. So this is just tying up loose ends on a project where the bonding company came in and performed as it should.
Okay. Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
No further items. Thank you.
Anything else for the committee? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks for adjourning.
Very expeditious. Thank you.